So, I want to speak this morning on this message. God loves the stranger. God loves the stranger. And this is important. What I want to explain this morning is how God feels about strangers. And I want you to reflect really carefully about your attitudes, how you feel about strangers, about nationalism, about what it truly means, and where we as Christians should position ourselves. You don't have to agree with me, but you have to agree with God. If you open up your Bibles to Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9, we're going to go through the Bible carefully. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9. We read this. God loves the stranger. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude. Everybody say, great multitude. A great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing there before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Amen. We understand, because God loves the stranger, that Jesus Christ, his Son, has torn down every dividing wall. The Spirit sends the church to move people from just welcoming them to encouraging them to belong. And after they belong, to lead. So that our worship, our community, our city might display a foretaste of what we're going to see in heaven. You know, now in many cities in this country, we see that our cities are more diverse. And in very many cases, they're more diverse than churches. You know, if you go to your GP surgery, your doctor, you probably have doctors from all over the world treating you. But when you sit in the waiting room, you'll see people from all over the world waiting to be treated. When you get a Uber, it's probably somebody from another nation driving it, not necessarily an English person. When you stand in a queue at Tesco or Sainsbury or Waitrose, other supermarkets also exist, you'll find people from different nations standing in a queue speaking all different types of languages. But sometimes our churches only ever sing in one language. We need to sing a few Cantonese songs. We need to sing a few Nigerian songs. We need to be multilingual in our worship. We need to change to reflect what God is doing. We need to sing some Persian songs. Today, I want to invite you to come on an adventure, not just to greet the nations, not just to say, you're welcome, but to grow together. To grow together. To mature together in Christ. To be at the same table, not just eating nice Hong Kong food. Okay, I love Hong Kong food. It's almost as good as Nigerian food. You know, turn to Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 34. We want to take people from welcome to leading. That's our first slide, from welcome to leading. But I want to share a few scriptures first for you to really get a hold of. This is the heart of God. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 34. This is the heart of God. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourselves. For you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Can we read this scripture together? Let's read it together. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 34. Please make sure we have it in Persian so my Persian brothers can read this. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself. For you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Israel was to understand their identity from a perspective of being a people who were persecuted. They know what it's like to be foreigners and aliens and strangers and oppressed. Therefore, they were required by God to see their mission through the lens, the understanding that they too were foreigners and strangers and aliens. And because of that, they needed to learn how to treat people, to be different, to look after them, to care for them, to treat them like their own people. Whatever our theology about the land of Israel, we need to understand that God loves everybody. God loves everybody. Every people he loves. And if we fail to see the face of God in people that are different to us, we fail to see who we truly are. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 34. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself. For you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. This is who God is. And this is what God requires. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11, we read this. Therefore, remember that formerly you were who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision. That's the Jews. Which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenant of promise, without hope and without God in this world. But now in Christ, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. It's not just the Jews that were to remember how they were treated when they were in slavery. And therefore, they were to look after people in their midst like they looked after their own. Israel is missing its calling right now. Bombing innocent children and women, this is not what God requires. This is wickedness. And anybody that rejoices in the bombing of innocent children and women has got a really strange theology. God calls us for something better. But it's not just the Jews, Christians. We too were excluded from God. We weren't part of the promise of the covenant. But Jesus came and he died for us so that we could be grafted in, we could be included, we could be part of God's family. It wasn't just the Jews he came to save, he came to save all of us. And when we forget as Christians that we've also been welcomed into God's family, and we hold attitudes that are excluding of others, we need to think very carefully about what we're doing. Because this is not the heart of God. This is not the heart of God. Absolutely, God wants it, has to be clear that there are only two genders, male and female. He made them. There are no multiple genders. There's no such thing as multiple. It's only male and female. That's what God intended. And yes, our genes sometimes let us down. Our biology fails and things go wrong in our biology and people end up physically confused. We know that's true. That's a reality. That's a reality. But we know what God intended. And so we do our best in our fallen nature, in our brokenness, to live the best we can in line with what God wanted. And that's true of anybody who's gender confused or not gender confused. We've all got to choose to live the best we can for God. And we help one another to that end, and we don't judge one another as people struggle with these things in their lives. We don't judge people. We love them. But we're absolutely clear, male and female is what he intended. We're absolutely clear that God has determined and decided that that is how it should be. We're very clear. We're very clear that people need to repent of sins and give their lives to Christ. They need to be born again. We're clear about these issues. We're not confused. We're not confused at all. We know what God says. But having said all of that, when it comes to this issue here, we need to remember that we too were excluded and God opened the door for us. Nationalism is a myth. It's a myth. Nationalism will pass away like everything else. You know, I come from a country called Nigeria, which has got over 300 languages, so many tribes. I mean, so many tribes. Before the British came and drew borders around us and said, this is Nigeria, we didn't have those borders. But now, of course, we have to be loyal to Nigeria. Well, I want to tell you something. My loyalty first is to Jesus Christ. My loyalty first is to him. And there is no national boundary that can be drawn around any country that will encourage me to exclude people who are desperate and broken and lost and anxious and need a good Samaritan that will say, here's my donkey, use it. And you owe me nothing. We need to be careful what kind of Christians we are. And we need to be careful what kind of Christians we become. So, my first slide. God's heart. I just want to take this through five theological movements, okay? God's heart for the stranger, first of all, is hospitality. So God, first of all, wants us to welcome the stranger. They're welcome. and they can be part of us. You know, we need to deal with those obstacles inside of us that hold people at a distance. For example, fear of differences. People are different. They eat strange food. I mean, remember the first time Pastor Joanna invited a group of us together for a meal in her house, and we were asking each other what kind of strange foods we ate. And I was so surprised at Wilson, the things he eats. Whew. When they were telling me, my mouth was like this. You really eat that in Hong Kong? Yes. And I was so surprised. And those differences, they can become difficult. You know, they can become difficult. And I think we need to look inside and say, why do I struggle with this in my heart against these people? What's in my heart? The fear of differences. We need to stop being transactional. What I mean by that is, this is an obstacle. If the only reason Wilson is my friend is because of what he can do for me, that's a transaction. He's my friend because of what he can do. That's not good. That's not good. We must not be transactional in our relationships. We must be sacrificial in our relationship. We must love one another. We must give ourselves to each other in love. And whether he can do anything for me or not, it doesn't matter. He's my brother. I should love him. We should love one another. We should love one another. I don't come to church because the worship is good. That's transactional. I come to church because he is worthy of my praise. Whether the worship is good or the worship is not good, I don't care. The worship was amazing this morning, by the way. Okay? It was amazing this morning. But that's not why I come. I come because he is worthy of my praise. So we must be careful how we treat one another. That is not transaction, barter system. Second movement, so we welcome. Okay, we welcome. You know, I would encourage you. I know that Pastor Joanna and Pastor Mabel, every time new people come to the community, they go and visit them that week. I know that. This is the same thing, you know, welcome. What can you do to welcome people? Maybe make a meal. Make an extra meal. And then when a stranger comes to church, we have a new family here today. You're all fighting to invite them back to your house because you have extra meal. And they don't know who to go to because when they hear what Vivian has made, they think this is amazing. But then they hear Joanne and hear what Joanne has made. And Joanne says, no, you need to come to my house. Because, Vivian is good, but listen to what I've made for lunch. We need to welcome people into our homes. We need to do more than just nice to see you. Can I hear an amen? Amen. If church is not relational, if welcome means relationship, that's what welcome means, relationship. It's not just shaking your hand. It's being family. Second slide, please. The cross breaks down every wall of hostility. So we need a cross-shaped reconciliation at the heart of relationships. So the cross is a power of reconciliation in our relationships. And this is important. I don't know. In church life, you will be hurt by somebody. Okay? Somebody will annoy you. Has anybody ever been to church and been annoyed by another Christian? Put up your hand. The rest of you are saints. Okay, I am astonished. Let me ask, maybe I didn't ask the question clearly. Let me just ask the question again. Have you ever been annoyed by somebody in a church that's really annoyed you? If so, please put up your hand, let me see. Okay. Wow, the rest of you are saints. I mean, you're so holy. nobody's ever annoyed you in church. This is amazing. This is astonishing. I'm trying hard to believe you, but something's wrong in my belief system at the moment. You know, I need to say this. We have to avoid tokenism. If we're saying that we are reconciled as brothers and sisters, we have to be careful that just because we have somebody from Hong Kong in the worship team, or somebody from Iran in the worship team, or somebody from Nigeria in the worship team, that we think we've done our job, we have integration. No. That could be tokenism. That could be tokenism. So we have to really be careful that when we're creating opportunities for people in the church, they are real opportunities because we're one family. There is no culture more important than another culture. Now hear me out. We thank God for the English because, you know, the English, England has been an amazingly welcoming place for people from different nations. England has been a place of refuge. I would say England and the United Kingdom present more of the heart of God than probably many other nations in the world. You know, that's why you're here, because the English, the people of the United Kingdom, have a warm, welcoming heart. Look at what happened with Ukraine. What was the first nation to welcome people from Ukraine? It was England. It was the United Kingdom. Straight over there to support them. Our leaders were Boris Johnson, straight over there to support them. This, don't let what you're seeing in the news fool you. This is a welcoming nation that welcomes people and embraces them and loves them. That doesn't mean we shouldn't have a robust immigration policy. We should. We must. But don't let extremism bring fear into your heart. It will fall because the instinct of the British is to be kind. The instinct of the British is to be welcoming. The instinct of the Scottish, the English, the Welsh, and the Irish is to embrace people from different nations and to love them. So don't let fear enter your heart, because that's not the British people. There's always extremists in every nation. And then, of course, the third movement, theologically, in terms of the Word of God, is this. I love this. Turn to Acts chapter 2. This is amazing. I mean, this is just so incredible when you think about it. God loved the stranger. See, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. And the whole house, and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what appeared to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And on Pentecost, something extraordinary happened. The Spirit speaks in many tongues. Language is used by him as mission. So you know, Pentecost is not, if you like, a language exam passed by the nations. It's a gift. It's a gift given by the Spirit to the church. It's a gift. God meets people in their own tongues. God meets people in their own languages. This is incredible. In other words, at Pentecost, God wasn't saying, you all have to speak the same language. He was saying, don't worry about the language you speak. I'll meet you in your language. And so we see that the Holy Spirit speaks in many tongues. Perhaps we do need to sing different styles of music, different languages of music, if not different styles. Perhaps we need to sing a few Cantonese songs. No. Perhaps we need to learn a few South African songs. Perhaps we need to learn how to sing in different tongues. You see, at Pentecost, God didn't come to make the world sound like Jerusalem. He made Jerusalem sound like the world. I want you to think about that. At Pentecost, he didn't come to make the whole world sound like Jerusalem. He made Jerusalem sound like the whole world. God has got something to say about the diversity of our language. Something beautiful to say. And through it, to release mission to the nations. Look, the people outside here all speak English. I'm not suggesting that we start singing Cantonese songs so nobody understands what anybody's saying. But what I'm saying is that we need to introduce an element in our worship that recognizes diversity of who we all are and honors it and respects it. Of course, we want people coming in to be able to sing with us, because most of them will only speak English. It's a common denominator for all of us. But we want to honor our cultures, because there's something beautiful about the different cultures, something gorgeous. So much so that God keeps every culture at the end of history. You know, it's so amazing to God. It's so beautiful to God. It's so wonderful to God that at the end of history, we'll all still be speaking our different languages. And we'll understand one another. My Cantonese will be perfect. Increase contact. You know, my next slide, we need to increase contact. We need to make sure that we have relationship in our community. I don't know what it's like for newcomers to come into our midst, whether they feel loved and welcomed, whether they feel included. But you know, the Lord's table is an example of what God wants. You know, the breaking of bread, the invitation is to everybody. Everybody's invited to the Lord's table. Even the rebellious Christians, they're invited to repent and to come. So God says, come and eat, come and dine with me. God opens up his table to all of us. We need to find a way to increase contact with each other, to fellowship together and love each other. There needs to be clarity. How do you become a leader in this church? Can I be a leader in this church? My prayer is that our youngsters coming through will have no barriers into any form of leadership in our church. That they will feel not only is this their church, but they can lead it. I mean, maybe one day when Pastor Yinka retires and Pastor Joanna retires, and maybe we'll have a Hong Kong youngster from our community rise up and become pastor of the church. Would that be amazing? Can I hear an amen? I mean, can I hear an amen? Amen. You know, I mean, you don't sound enthusiastic. Amen. Is it a problem? Do you not want to see a young Hong Kongster rise up? Amen. I mean, God can do it for us. Yes. You know, it could be a young Nigerian lad. God can do it. It could be a young Persian. You know, one of these gentlemen could get married, have children, and they could grow up and become pastor of this church. Why not? We need to make pathways where it's obvious how people can become leaders in our community. Everybody can lead. Everybody can lead. And we need to make it easy for people to find a way to lead. I know that a Nigerian, I'm very aggressive. Remember when Wilson first came to the church, he said, oh, you're so quick. He said, you're so quick, Pastor Yinka. I said, we love you, you're welcome. He said, really? He'd only been twice. He wasn't sure. He wasn't sure we really loved Hong Kong people. I'm so glad he stayed. So we understand that we need to increase contact. We need to make sure people understand how they can be part of our community, how they can get into leadership. We need to make sure that we create time for people. You know, if we bless each other, we will bless our town. If we help each other, we will help the town. You know, our witness will speak to the town and will have an impact. So I'd like us to pray. I know in the news there's a lot of stuff going on that you can see on your television screens where people are marching, and you know, you mustn't be anxious. I have to be honest, I'm disappointed at some Christians. I have to be honest. Because they're marching with some of these people. And they've forgotten the heart of God. And they've put national interest before people. Do you know that amongst Iranians, do you know there's a revival going on in this country? Thousands of Iranians are giving their lives to Christ. Thousands. Thousands of Iranians. We have some Iranian brothers here today. Our Iranian brothers, please stand up. Can we give them a big clap? Please sit down. Okay? Many of them have become Christians in the last 3 or 4 weeks. But across the country, this is happening in church after church after church after church. Some people are weaponizing bad behavior by some individuals and are using that to say all immigrants are bad. We have to be careful not to believe this rubbish. We have to be careful. And so I'm disappointed at some Christians who are marching with right-wing extremists and think they're doing the work of Jesus. But we can be different. We can be Christ-like. We forgive them. And we welcome the stranger here. Because this is the heart of God. I'm going to ask Pastor Sue. Sue's changed her status in the church. Because you've recommended her to be trained up as a minister, and so she's not going to be called Pastor Sue. I'm going to ask, yes, give her a clap. It's so good. But I'm going to ask her to just come and maybe tell us how we can pray about this, maybe invite a few people to come and pray. Can we welcome Pastor Sue as she leads us in prayer?